God anointed Jesus to console the afflicted. God anointed Jesus to emancipate the enslaved. God anointed Jesus to bind up the wounded. God anointed Jesus to deliver the troubled. Here's how to worship Christ now. Turn to someone near you and pass his peace among you. The peace of Christ be with you all. Welcome to the bruised and the broken, to the whole and the healing. Welcome searchers and questioners, believers and doubters. Welcome to the hungry and the full, the lonely and the connected, the bereaved and the joyful, the perfect and the screw-ups. Welcome brothers and sisters, strangers and travelers. Welcome gay and straight, transgender and not. Welcome smart and stupid, wise and foolish. Welcome to each and every one of you, for you are children of God. You are the hope of humanity. You are chosen for mighty things. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I have some announcements this morning that are going to help us move through this day. First of all, before you go today, we hope you'll look at the green insert in your bulletin. There you will find lots of opportunities for learning, service, and praise, including our young couples group. The way to support our mission trip, you can find out about the new jazz worship pickup choir. You can find out how you can help God rebuild the world through our summer of service and much more. Next, these, we call them our friendship pads. There's one at the aisle end of each pew. If you would pick it up, open it up if you're sitting on the aisle end, the outside or the inside aisle, and pass it down and put a little something about yourself in there. If you put down at least your name, then the people you share your pews with will know how to greet you. If you put down enough information for us to reach you, we promise that we will, to tell you how thrilled we are that you are with us this morning. Next, I understand we have a youth group with us. Would the group from the First Congregational Church of Elgin, Illinois, stand up so we can welcome you? I'm guessing it's you guys. Welcome. We give thanks to God that you've made the long trip here, and we hope it's a good one. Next, I have great news for you. Fellowship Hour will be outside in the portico today, which is lovely, but better still, Fellowship Hour will be a concert today. Old South's own indie folk bluegrass band, Butterfly Fish, will be waiting for you when you get out there to give you a gift, an Americana Father's Day Jamboree and Hootenanny. Can you think of anything that sounds more fun than that? No. So we hope you'll join us by going out those doors and taking a left outside. You won't be able to miss it when you get out there. Next, I want you to know that we have a very special preacher with us this morning to break open the Word. Jocelyn Gardner is our field education intern. For the last year, she has been preaching frequently at the jazz worship service and sometimes at the early worship service, but never before at festival worship. That has been our loss, but no longer. Since some of us know this is not Jocelyn's last Sunday among us, she will, thank God, be with us through the end of August, which is good news indeed, but not as good news as the news she's going to bring us later this morning. Here's what happens now. The choir sings, we listen, hearts open, God enters, anger softens, hope quickens, forgiveness flows, eyes open, souls are healed, and the world starts fresh. Here's what happens now. We worship God.
Cleansing, I invite forward at this time Bailey, Gwyneth, and Clarence, and if you would, bring your mom and dad and your grandmother, and if you would also bring with you the representative from the Board of Ministers and Deacons, Ann Pritchard.
And I also want to invite up our Old South children, anyone who is a member of Old South or who is just visiting for the first time. If you consider yourself a child, come on up and join us. You know we can't do this without you. Come right on up here, Jean. Gather around the font with me. So we need to check and be sure we have all the stuff that we need for a baptism. So let's go through the list. What do we need? Congregation. Got one. What else? What's that? Preachers. We got a couple. What else?
Water.
That's right. What else?
Babies.
People being baptized. So we have one baby and two gorgeous little girls. Perfect. One more thing. God. Who said that? Well done, Wendy. So we have everything we need. Let's go.
Baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. Inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us, but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and baptism. I invite you now, as we partake of this most important and exciting sacrament of the Christian church, that you join with us in the litany of baptism. We are gathered to present Bailey Carjan Whelan and Gwyneth Carjan Whelan and Clarence Carjan Whelan to the church and to dedicate them to God. What can we affirm about them?
As Bailey, Gwyneth, and Clarence grow in our congregation, how will they know that they are children of God, made in God's image?
How will they learn of the Christian faith?
And what, in turn, will we expect of them?
Do you, Aaron and Shannon, parents, and Sharon, on behalf of the godparents, assume your primary responsibility for fulfilling these expectations by growing with these children in the Christian faith, helping them to become faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by offering them the nurture and support of the Christian Church.
And do you, the Old South congregation, pledge to work toward creating and maintaining a nurturing and challenging Christian environment for Bailey, Gwyneth, and Clarence?
Then may God be with us.
All right, you guys, here's the next thing we need your help with. That's blessing the water. So I'm going to start the prayer, and then I'm going to pour the water. And after I do that, I need you to raise your hands up. I'll tell you when the time is to raise your hands up over the water. And as you do that, picture all the love that's in you flowing out through your hands and into that water, and get a lot of love into that water, because we have three people to baptize today. Here we go. Will you pray with me? We thank you, God, for the gift of creation called forth by your saving word. Before the world had shape and form, your Spirit moved over the waters. Out of the waters of the deep, you formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the waters of the Red Sea from slavery to freedom.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, who was nurtured in the waters of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well, washed the feet of the disciples, and sent them forth to baptize all the nations by water and the Holy Spirit. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in those baptized today, that they may rise in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Do you want to come over here? Uncle Bailey. What is the name of this child? Bailey. Come here a little bit. There we go. Bailey, we baptize you in the name of the one who Jesus called Abba, Father. And in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Bailey, child of God, disciple of Jesus, member of the church. Amen.
By what name is this child called?
Gwyneth.
Gwyneth, we baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Gwyneth, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church.
Child. Clarence, I baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Clarence, disciple of Jesus, child of God, member of the church. Amen.
Please join me in the congregational welcome. Found in your bulletin, please. We rejoice in God's empowering love, freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, into the circle of love in Christ Church. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. And our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Now please remain seated and join in singing hymn number 327, Jesus Loves Me, while Nancy brings your new sisters and brother down to meet you. And you guys can head back to your seats. Well done. Thanks.
Girls, will you come with me? Bailey?
Listen now for the word of God in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. Then they arrived by boat at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would not break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wild. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus not to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the countryside. Then people came out to see what had happened, and they came to see Jesus. They found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of our Lord.
Please be seated. Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He had been this way for a long time, they said. His hair hung down ragged around his shoulders. His face was streaked with dirt. If he looked straight at you, which he didn't do very often, but if he did, you would see that his eyes were vacant and blank, and you couldn't be entirely sure what it was that he was seeing. He ate things that people just shouldn't eat. He drank things people just shouldn't drink. He slept outside in places people just shouldn't sleep. The children of the town used to sneak up to that place where he stayed in hopes of catching a glimpse of him, and when they did, they would run shrieking all the way back down to their homes. And then their hands would tremble as they told their friends about this crazy man who grew stranger and stranger every time that story was retold. Their parents told them half-heartedly to stop. But the truth is that they, too, had a strange, guilty fascination with this misfit of a man. If you asked them, the village grandmothers would tell you that he was a sweet child once. He had laughed when they tickled him. He had cried when he skinned his knee. But then their faces would darken as they told you that then something happened. He went away for a while and he came back different. They said a demon had entered him. And now he lived the life of a shadow flitting around the edges, visible and invisible at the same time. Ever since he had come back from that tour of duty in Iraq, there had been legions and battalions marching up and down inside his head, trampling his sanity under their steel-toed boots. He raged and he ran and he wrestled with those demons and he just couldn't get away from them. Unlike many of his buddies, he had come back from war alive. But in the eyes of that village, he was all but dead. He had been this way for a long time, the story says. The garrison man wore no clothes and he lived not in a house, but in the tombs. His hair hung down, ragged around his shoulders. His face was streaked with dirt. His eyes stared vacantly. The children shook at the sight of him. Their parents turned their faces away when they happened by the place where he sat. The ones who had once been his friends tried to help him, if chaining him and shackling him and keeping him under guard can ever be called help. But he would break the chains and tear free from the shackles, and he would run back up to the cemetery, up to the wildness of the tombs where no one would grimace, and no one would shriek, and no one would call him names. In the eyes of that village, he was all but dead, perhaps worse than dead, for he was a threat to the living. He was unclean. He was unsafe. He was unpredictable. He was unwell. He was unwelcome. He had been this way for a long time, the story says, until the day that Jesus came to town. On that day, this man was the very first one to greet Jesus. He had overheard some of the old men telling how he had cured a man with an unclean spirit in Capernaum. He had overheard the children frightening each other with tales of the demons and evil spirits that Jesus had cast out of those troubled people who came to him when he was preaching on the plain. These stories had kindled a new kind of feeling in this man, something almost like hope. And he had begun to wonder if maybe, just maybe, such a transformation might be possible for him too. So he came and he stood before Jesus on the shore and he stepped out of the boat and they locked eyes. They locked eyes and he felt Jesus looking at him in a way different from how anyone had looked at him for years. Do you know how that feels? When somebody looks at you and you know he sees you. Do you know how that feels when someone looks at you and you know she gets it? You know what a difference that makes to be seen, really seen? To be known, really known? They locked eyes and they looked at each other for a long moment that felt like an eternity. And Jesus saw through the nakedness and the wild hair, through the chains and the shackles. Jesus looked at this man who was so afflicted that he no longer knew his own name. Jesus looked at this man whose entire identity had been subsumed by the demons that afflicted him. Jesus did not grimace. He did not shriek. He did not run away. He looked at this man and he saw a child of God who did not know that that was who he was. He looked at this man and he saw a child of God to whom no one ever said the words that we just said to Bailey and Gwyneth and Clarence. He looked at this man and he saw a child of God who did not know that he was loved unconditionally, that he was forgiven completely, that he was beautiful in God's sight. They locked eyes and they looked at each other for a long, pregnant moment. And then something happened that's hard to explain. The story says the demons left the man and entered a herd of swine, and the pigs plunged to their deaths in the lake, taking the demons with them. If you're like me, your 21st century mind doesn't quite know what to make of that part of the story. How did Jesus do it? Why did the pigs have to die? Couldn't he just banish the demons outright? Did this even really happen? If you're like me, you wonder about all those things and more. And if you're like me, you wish someone would stand up in the pulpit and explain them. Friends, if you're like me, you're out of luck. I can't explain precisely how that miraculous healing occurred, but here's what I do know. In that moment, everything changed. Somehow, everything changed. The man who had been naked and raving among the tombs found himself sitting calmly at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The man who had been dwelling among the dead was returned to the land of the living. The man who had been reduced to the status of an animal was human again. The lost one was found, the broken one made whole. In that moment, everything changed. But the story doesn't end there. The swineherds whose pigs had plunged down the hill to their deaths went and told their employers and their families and their friends what had happened, and the people came out to see it with their own eyes. And when they saw the man restored to health, freed of his demons, they were afraid. Afraid, perhaps, that the healing was only temporary, that soon he would be back to his old ways, breaking chains, running naked up to the tombs. But more afraid, perhaps, that they had been wrong when they gave up on him. More afraid, perhaps, of the power of this man, Jesus, who had done what they had believed to be impossible. The man's complete transformation was too much change too fast. So the people asked Jesus to leave, and he complied. As Jesus turned and stepped back onto the boat, the man begged Jesus to let him go with him, to let him follow him, to let him come along. It's only natural, isn't it, that he would want to stay with this one who had brought him back to life. But Jesus, here's the important part, Jesus said no. He said, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." I think Jesus knew that this man who had been a stranger in his own land for so long needed to go home. I think he knew what God had said way back in the beginning, that it is not good for humankind to be alone. I think he said, "Return to your home. And do not leave until your father has kissed both your cheeks and wept at the sight of you. Return to your home and do not leave until those children who used to torment you are sitting on your knee and telling you stories." I think Jesus said, "It's not going to be easy, but you need your people, and your people need you. So return to your home and do not leave until you are part of the family again. I think that's what Jesus told him to do, and I think that's what he did. I think he went and he sat in his grandmother's kitchen, and he ate the freshly baked bread that she set in front of him. And when that old vacant look came back into his eyes, I think she held him close, and she told him that she loved him, that it was not a dream, that he really was back, that he was going to be okay. And then I think he went and he found the shack on the outskirts of town where the girl lived, whose parents had kicked her out when she got pregnant. I think he brought her meals when she was hungry. I think he held that baby when she needed a rest. I think he told her his story, and little by little by little, he convinced her that if he could be loved, then surely she could too. And then I think he went and he found the Iraq War veteran shaking change in a cup on Boylston Street. And I think he saw through those ragged clothes and the smell of cheap wine. I think he saw through all of that to the strong young man who's still there on the inside. And little by little by little, I think he helped him start to face down the demons of PTSD. It wasn't easy. And sometimes that old vacant look would come back to his eyes, but he held him close and he did not let go until he was part of the family again. Sisters and brothers, here's the thing. When Jesus sent that man back to his home, he knew two important things. That man needed his people, and his people needed him. When Jesus sent that man back to his home, he healed a whole village. He taught a whole town that things do not have to stay as they are. And little by little by little, they learned how to be people who nurture wholeness, who celebrate healing, who embrace transformation, who bring one another back to life. If you think Jesus was right, if you think that's good news, if you want to go and do likewise, say amen.
God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. So let us pray. God of the morning, God of the evening, God of the long summer day, you in whom all creation finds its fulfillment, in whom every hour is open to eternity. We come before you, O God, grateful for the varied joys and blessings of our lives, for the beautiful things your hand has fashioned in the ways of earth and sea and sky, for the goodness of neighbors and family, of friends, colleagues, and strangers who open our hearts and hands to one another. We are grateful for the usefulness of work and for the pleasures of rest and leisure. Above all, O God, we give you our most astonished thanksgiving for the giving, revealing, and expressing of your own self in the one in whose name we are gathered. Jesus, lover of the unloved, healer of the ill, weaver of parable and story, multiplier of food, and conqueror of death. O God, God of Jesus and our God, we ask for the nerve and the honesty to break open our lives before you. With only a halting faith and whatever love of you and others we can muster, we would try to fashion a temple of praise to you, confessing the fragile quality of our building blocks, we ask for strength and wisdom, goodness and gentleness, that we might love you in prayer, speak of you in witness, and serve you in the world. O God, be with those for whom we have often had many words but too few prayers, with leaders of nations and with the nations themselves, that they may find sure guidance in tasks and trials too great for men and women alone. O God, be with the young who spend long summer days on city streets in Boston and elsewhere with too much time and too little support. O God, be with those who lift life's cross without bitterness or complaint, and with those who may falter beneath its weight, finding it heavier than their strength. O God, be with the fathers of this world this day, they for whom changing times require new understandings of gender and role. We pray your blessing upon all earthly fathers, asking for strength with tenderness and wisdom with patience. And we, some of us, recall with tender memories those fathers who still rejoice with us, but upon a farther shore and in a greater light. O God, we remember before you those known to us and dear to this community of faith, especially Anne, Gwen, Larry, Nancy, Deborah, Barbara, Arnita, Fritz, Janet. And for three wee ones touched this day by the waters of baptism, for Bailey, Gwyneth, and Clarence,
that evil indeed may have no power over them, and they may live in the assurance of Christ's saving word. O God, we hold in prayer all who came through these doors in the course of this past week, who left their prayers in our keeping. We pray with many who pray for strength in the face of loss of jobs or benefits, with one who prays for peace and joy in the midst of darkness, with ones who turn to you to give thanks for the blessings of their lives. In silence, we now name before you those persons and circumstances that lay upon each of our hearts this day. Finally, O God, we bring to you all our results and achievements, all our failures and sins. In pride and humility, we lay them at your feet and ask your help in leaving them here, that we might forget ourselves in the glory of what you can do in spite of us through Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, we are here to worship God, that same God who created all of creation and all in it so that God could give love, that same God that when this world became broken gave God's only Son that we might have hope and that we might live in the
promise of peace and justice and wholeness. That God has given us everything that we have, so that we too, created in God's image, might likewise give generously, to give here and now, to take our resources and offer them back to God in our own show of love, to take what we have and to do the work of Christ and bring hope to those who need it most. For that, my brothers and sisters, is what we are about to do in collecting the offering, a radical, countercultural, brazen act of faith that our God is still speaking, still working, still showering us with love and offering us hope, and still calling us to respond in gratitude. It is in that spirit that the morning offering will now be given and received. brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, take these gifts of your faithful gathered here in Boston. Take them, O God. Bless them. Use them. Use them to drive out the demons in this world. Use them to make people whole, to restore those who are lost. Guide the stewards of these gifts that they might use them wisely and faithfully. O God, leave these gifts etched in our mind, that we never forget our calling to be bold, radical, countercultural, and brazen servants this day and every day. Through the name of the one who brought and brings and always brings hope, your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus said, "You ought always to pray and not to faint. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger women and men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle. You will be the miracle. And every day you will wonder at yourself and the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. Go forth now to join our God in the healing of the world, knowing that the blessing of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer goes with you this and every day. And let the people say, Amen.